Good morning, everyone. Now, let's turn to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4, and we're continuing our examination of the parable of the sower. I know this is the beginning of a new week. Well, for me anyway, my first appearance amongst you this week. And it's a long time ago, looking back to Thursday, and a lot of things can slip from your mind. So let me just remind you how that we have been considering this wonderful picture that the Lord Jesus paints of the preaching of the gospel. That's what he's talking about. And he likens it unto a man sowing seed in a field. That's a wonderful illustration. How gloriously simple are the words of the Savior. You know, oftentimes when you listen to men preach, they use technical terms, theological terms. And many's a person sitting listening to them really doesn't know what those words mean. That never was the case with the Lord Jesus. Preachers ought to take note of that. He never left his people puzzled by the terminology he used. Now, oftentimes they didn't grasp the meaning of his words. That's because of the blindness of the human heart. But their puzzlement didn't spring because of the language he employed. It was always simple terminology, simple words. And here he has been telling us that the word of God, as it's preached, is just like a man sowing seed in a field. So, I'm going to start right there this morning. God's word is like a seed. Indeed, God's word is a seed. It is a seed. Now, seeds come in many forms. You know that. You know that. When you eat your apple, right there in the middle, you have nice, tiny, little seeds. You eat your various fruits, like those delicious ones that have at the heart of them a big stone, but it's a seed. The boys might soon be on the lookout for conkers. But remember this, it's a seed. That's all a conker is, a seed. And then we have an ash tree just opposite our house. It's a pest, because at this time of the year there comes whizzing down from it seeds galore, and they find places in my little garden, and before long there's ash trees popping up everywhere. I've pulled up more ash trees, all because a wee whizzy seed has popped down and taken root. Seeds come in all shapes and forms, but what they're doing is preparing the next generation, carrying on their particular species, and making sure that their species doesn't die out. Now, the word of God is a seed. The Savior makes that clear. Now, being a seed, the word of God is alive. All those different seeds I mentioned, the conker and the ash seed and the seed that you get in fruits, they're all alive. They're all alive. There's life within them. God has ordained it so. And so it is with the word of God. It's alive. From this book, and it's a marvelous thing, this morning, boys and girls, I'm sowing seed as I preach. And the seed that I am sowing, the words that I'm speaking, because they are the words of God, they carry life with them. They carry life with them. Listen to what Peter had to say. 1 Peter chapter 1, down to verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now that explains to us very simply how a person's born again. A seed comes to them, is planted in them, and from that seed, new life begins. And it's incorruptible life, it's holy life. It's the very life of God. That's what it means to be born again. Listen, has that happened? Has that happened? Oh, listen, if this miracle has taken place in your life, you'll know about it. You'll know about it. As I mentioned, when the little ash seed falls into my garden, I soon know about it. There it is, poking up where it ought not to be. It's living. It's showing itself. And it has all the appearance, even though it's only that height,
of an ash tree.
The parent tree is across the road. I don't know how high it is. 30 feet, 40 feet. But this little tree, only inches high, just looks like it. And when God plants a seed in your heart, there grows up in you that which has the image of God, that which has the likeness to God upon it. Now, if there is that seed growing in your heart and life, you're bound to know about it. And if you are puzzling this morning and saying, I wonder, am I? Do I? Then I suggest that you're not born again, that you haven't got that seed growing in you. Because if you had, you'd know about it. You'd know about it. Oh, think on that today and listen to me as I urge upon you the way by which there can begin growing in you the new life that the Word of God brings. Yes, there's life and seed. It's most wonderful. Do you know what I was reading just a few days ago? There were some excavations taking place in Israel. You know, these archaeologists who like to dig about and find that which dates back hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. And they were in a very famous place called Masada. Masada is a very famous place. It's down in the south of Israel, and really it's nothing more than a huge rock that's almost sheer-faced. And shortly after the conquest and destruction of Jerusalem, a remnant of the Jews decided to take a last stand against the Roman army on Masada. And because it's so sheer, the sides are just like cliffs. They knew that a Roman army or any army would have great difficulty getting to the top, especially if there were people up on the top doing everything by shooting arrows and throwing spears and dropping rocks and all the rest of it down upon them. And it did take the Roman army a long, 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 long time to conquer them. And you know how the Roman army did it, as armies often did back then. They built a ramp. I mean, it would have been a ramp starting nearly up at the old railway junction bridge, because the rock was so high, they had to start as far back as that. And they gradually piled rocks and dirt together until they had a ramp built. And all the time they were doing that, of course, they were under fire from the Jews up on the rock. But still, the Roman army managed to do that. And then they used that ramp to reach the top of the rock and breached the walls that were round the edges of it. And in their final assault, when they got there, they discovered something which was really rather horrifying. The Jews were all dead. They had agreed amongst themselves to kill one another and not surrender. Oh, it's a very wonderful story. Sad, horrific story. But the archaeologists were up digging around the top of the rock. You can still go there. I was up on it once, along with Mrs. Foster and Mr. and Mrs. Toms and Dr. Douglas. Most wonderful place. Well, the archaeologists were digging about, and they found some old containers, old pots. And in those pots, they found some seeds. They were date seeds of the date tree. Now, this was back, if my memory serves me right, this was back in the 70s, a good wee while ago. And the archaeologists looked at these, recognized them for what they were, carried them down, registered the fact they'd found them, and they ended up just in somebody's drawer in an office. Now, these were seeds some 2,000 years old, and they're just thrown in the drawer. And about 20 years later, more than 20 years later, someone opened the drawer, as I'm sure it had been done hundreds of times, saw the seeds and said, I wonder would they grow? I'll send it to the research station that's operating down there near Beersheba, a scientific research station that did this sort of work. So some were sent down and they planted them and they grew. Life was still in those seeds after all those years, lying up there in a pot on the roasting top of Masada, for it is very hot up there. Taken down, thrown in an office desk drawer, lay there for another quarter of a century, and then taken out, planted.
and took root.
If I'm not mistaken, they actually only planted one of the seeds, and it grew. And not only that, but I was reading that seed has produced seeds, and they're growing. Now, when God says that his word is a seed, he has very good reason for saying that. Because out there in nature, all those various seeds that are formed all present us with a wonderful picture of just what God's word does and how imperishable it is. Oh, the seeds out there in the world, it's true, they can perish, but God's word cannot perish. Like that date seed, which still had life in it after those thousands of years. God's word contains within it everlasting life. Indeed, as Peter calls it, the incorruptible. Can't corrupt. Now, the word, the seed of the word, must be planted by the hand of God in the heart before it will grow. A sower went forth to sow. And that sower was the Lord Jesus. And he's the only one who can plant the seed in the heart and cause it to grow. Takes his hand to plant it. It's a divine work. A work of God that is required to bring forth new life in the sinner. We're dead, lifeless. But when God does a work and plants a seed, then new life springs up. Here's a promise that God uttered a long, long time ago, and which has yet to be fulfilled. He's speaking of his nation, Israel. At the present time, they're scattered everywhere. They're lifeless. There's no evidence of God's grace among them, generally speaking. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. A key verse when we come to understand God's future purpose for Israel. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. That's the planting of the seed. The planting of the seed whereby the people of Israel in a future time will be regenerated. They will be made believers, Christians. They will be made new. God's life will be imparted to them. By this work that God will do, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. This is what happens as a result of the planting of the seed. A wonderful relationship is formed between God and the one in whom he plants the seed. He becomes the God of that person and that person becomes one of his people. Has there been that work done in you? Has there? Is the Lord your God? And are you one of his people? This won't happen unless God works. It's not enough for me to preach. And I must ever remember this. And everyone who's a Christian here must ever remember this. If you want someone to be saved, you must recognize it's not enough for them to hear a preacher. No matter how plain and how good are the words the preacher speaks, the word of God must be planted in their heart by the Lord. It's a work that God must do. It's a work that God must do. Has God done that work in your heart, my friend? Has he? Young people, oh, give heed to me. Give heed to me. The last thing I'll point out to you is this. A person in whom the seed has been planted is easily recognized. Easily recognized. Here's what David said. Psalm 40, the verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. How do you know the person in whose heart God has planted the seed? They delight to do God's will. They delight to do God's will. There is in them a likeness to God. The things that God likes, they like. They bear the image of God, just like those little ash trees that spring up in my garden. And I'll guarantee if we were to go now and take a wee wander around and poke about, we'd see one of those little ash trees coming up. And it looks just like the mother tree across the road. And if you're born again,
by the Word of God, there is a likeness to God in you. It's beginning to work in your life, and you are fashioned and molded and shaped to become more and more like the Savior. More and more like the Savior. It's not hard to figure out who's a Christian and who's not. It's not hard to discover just who has the Word planted in their heart. There'll be a likeness to the Lord Jesus in them. They'll be developing habits, their words, their actions, just like that little sapling that I've been talking about, that little ash tree putting out its little tiny branches, just like the big mother tree. Little leaves, just like the mother tree across the road. And there will be in you, if the seed has been planted, little branches, little leaves that bear a likeness to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think you do. Is there that likeness in you? Are you born again? Has God planted the seed in your heart? If he hasn't, do you know what you should do? You should say, Lord, save me. Plant your seed in my heart, Lord, that I might be born again. May you pray that, even today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank thee for your mercy. And we pray, O God, that as I have sought to scatter the seed today, that it may find a place in the hearts of each one in the gathering who is not saved. And as we have spoken, Lord, may there be a strengthening of the seed that is already planted in the hearts of the boys and girls who are saved. O God, look down in mercy upon us, I pray, and bless us this day, and bless the school in all its needs, and fill each heart, pupil and teacher, fill each heart with the joy of God. We ask it in thy name, dear Lord. Amen. Amen.